Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the opportunity to have this combined Sunday school class. Hey, real quickly, how many of you are grandparents? Raise your hand. Your grandparents. Okay, I do want you to know that the parenting seminar will also deal with grandparenting as well. So you will not want to miss that if you are a grandparent. And if you're a single parent, you may say, well, I don't know if I should go to something like that. If you're a single parent, a grandparent, or if you're a parent, you say, well, my kids are out of the home right now, and they're not, or they're kind of old, so I probably should have heard that a long time ago. There will be sessions and things that are said in all of the seminar for every one of you. If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 11. We are going to spend today... it's not really necessarily a patriotic day, but it is going to be about our country and our nation today as we come into Memorial weekend and what this is about. I hope that we are all thankful for those men and women that paid the ultimate sacrifice for me to do what I'm going to do today and for the freedoms that we enjoy today. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But we're going to answer a question today. What do you mean by today, Brother Scheller? Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, and tonight. It's a three-part answer to a question. I do not believe that this question is rhetorical. I believe that there is an answer to this question, and we will look at it. Psalm 11, we really need to read the whole psalm. We're going to be looking at one question that David gives in this psalm. Psalm 11, verse 1. And you're going to, by the way, you're going to all say the question with me when we get it. It'll be verse number 3. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountains. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright. Boy, is that happening in our country today. In heart. Now, look at verse number 3. I'll read it. We'll all read it together. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Would you all say that verse with me? Psalm 11, verse 3. If... I don't think that's rhetorical. I think there's an answer to that question. We're going to look at the three answers today. Verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fires, brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, the Lord loveth, everyone together, what's the next word? Righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Brother Shetler, do you know what I feel like right now in America? I feel like the foundations are being destroyed. I feel like our history is being destroyed. The things, the rock, pillar, everything we base our hope upon in this country, I feel like the very foundations of America are being destroyed. What should we, as children of God, the righteous of God, what shall we do? Well, listen to Proverbs 14:34, and then I'll give you the outline for the day. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, if you take the last verse of Psalm 11, and I think you take Proverbs 14:34, I think there is an obvious answer. If the foundations be destroyed, what should the righteous do? The righteous ought to be righteous. That's what we ought to do. So here's what we're going to look at. I think there's three ways to do that. Number one, this morning in Sunday school class, become discerning in your perspective. The righteous need to start getting some discernment. And we're going to look at that today. You're going to love this lesson. Then in the morning worship service, If the foundation is being destroyed, Brother Shetler, what should the righteous do? Become dedicated to your purpose. And tonight, we're going to see become determined in your prayers. What can the righteous do if the foundations of America be destroyed? Number one, you can become discerning in your perspective. You can become dedicated to your purpose, and you can become determined in your prayers. If the foundations be destroyed, there are things that the righteous can do. We're going to look at those today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that we will understand in this Sunday school hour about discernment. Help me be concise, move quickly, and help the students today in Sunday school receive and apply. And Lord, may they have a desire for biblical discernment, a biblical worldview. Help them know how to separate right from wrong. And I pray, Father, that we would practice in our life what we know already, that what is right and wrong, and develop a discerning spirit in our lives. Father, I dedicate this to you. I cannot make this happen, but I do know a great need in our country today is discernment. So in the name of Jesus Christ, may Temple Baptist today start becoming more discerning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the righteous said, amen. Take your Bibles quickly and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We're going to look at spiritual discernment defined, spiritual discernment desired, and spiritual discernment developed today. Truly, without a doubt, one of the great needs of our day and age in America is discernment. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Chronicles 12:32. I love this verse. I would imagine all of you may have this verse marked in your Bible, but oh, this is a good one for us today. And of the children of Issachar, I looked up Issachar, and do you know what it is in the Hebrew? Temple Baptist, okay? Temple Baptist. And of the children of Temple Baptist, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what America, Israel, ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Well, that makes sense. If somebody knows which way to go, people are going to follow that. You want to have a great impact in your country? Start getting some spiritual discernment. You want to have an impact where you work? Then develop spiritual discernment. The men of Issachar understood the times. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. I love this. And they knew what they were supposed to do. And they took what they were supposed to do, and they could discern what should happen. And people go like, wow, they know what they're doing. They understand what's going on in our country right now. I will follow them. All right, so here we go. Number one, and by the way, if you get anything today, you get this, all right? Spiritual discernment defined. So if you ever take notes, at least take the definition of discernment today, because the rest of the message is all about this. Are you ready? The divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. All right, I want everyone to hear this. Brother Shetler, so we're going to talk about discernment today. What are we talking about? We are talking about the divine skill of separating God's way from man's way. See, we got a major problem today. We don't know. So God, what is your perspective on this, God? God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to react? What should I do about this? God, I want to know your way. If somebody has spiritual discernment, they have the divine skill of separating God's way from man's way. If you're able to look at an issue and you can say, okay, this is God's view on this issue, this is man's view, you are a discerning person. And notice the second word, everyone together, the what? The what? What's the second word of that definition? The what? Divine. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because this is something I don't think we got a hold of yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a divine skill. That word divine is very purposely put in this definition. Because if you're going to have the ability to separate God's way from man's way, you cannot do that naturally. That does not come by your abilities. You've got to have another source to have spiritual discernment. That is why you say to yourself, when you see the news or you see some of these interviews and you go, okay, these people are educated. These people are not stupid people. How can they come to a conclusion on certain matters that they come to? How do they do that? How can we look at the same scientific facts that they look at and come to a completely different conclusion? I'm going to tell you why. In order to have discernment, you have to have a divine skill. It's got to come from God, not from man. And here's our passage. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Yeah. Oh, bless God. You know, there's just a lot of things in life, Brother Shetler, we're never going to understand. We're just never going to understand God. You know, I have not seen nor ear heard, you know, that which is of God. And there's just going to be some things we're just going to have to accept by faith and really never going to understand it. Would you look at the next verse? But God hath revealed them unto us by his, everyone together, what's the next word? Spirit. How many of you are children of God? You know you're on your way to heaven and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Would you raise your hand? You know the Lord. You're saved. You got the Spirit of God living inside of you. Then you have the source. You now have somebody that can give you the ability to have a skill to separate God's way from man's way because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. All right, jump down to verse 14. I'll tell you who doesn't have that. But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the man who is not saved, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Therefore, an unsaved man can never look at an issue the same way that a man with the Spirit of God looks at an issue, because he doesn't have the same source. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, everyone together, what's the next word? Discerned. And when we look at an issue, it doesn't matter if it's abortion, it doesn't matter what gun control, it doesn't matter what the issue is. When a natural man looks at that issue, he will look at that issue differently than the way that the righteous, the way that the saved would look at that issue, because we have a different source. We have the Spirit of God. Now look at this, verse 15. But he, I need your help again, folks. But he that is spiritual judgeth everyone together. What are the next two words? Oh, Brother Shepherd. No, 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 no. That's not what we do as Christians. We do not judge people. We do not judge things. That's our whole problem. That's why we turn people off, is because we're judgmental. Okay, first of all, I didn't use the words judgmental. Number two, where do you get that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. That's right in the Sermon on the Mount, Brother Shepler. Right in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. So no. And is it the same word? It is. Yeah, see, well, there you go. Sermon on the Mount, judge not, lest you be judged. Would you read the rest of the verses? Because after that, he says this. Get the stinking beam out of your eye before you judge the speck that is in your brother's eye. But after you get the beam out of your eye, help your brother with the area that he doesn't see. Do you understand? The Bible never says that we shouldn't judge things. But we got to make sure we're in a spot. We're righteous so we can judge things. Now listen to this. This is really good. Okay. So now, Brother Scheller, is there anything we can't judge? Yes, there is something we cannot judge. I can look at somebody and see what they do. I can look at somebody and listen to what they listen to. I can look at somebody and see what they wear. And I absolutely can and should make judgment on that. But I tell you, there is one area I cannot judge. I cannot judge their motive. But I can absolutely judge what they're doing. Okay, I work with teenagers like unbelievably. This past year, probably I have spoken to and been around between 15 and 20,000 teenagers this past year that I have preached to, been with in a conference, a camp, or whatever. 15 to 20,000. I make judgment on them all the time. I can see campers come into camp and what they wear, the way that they act, and the way that they look on their face, and I can say, bitter. There is no question, rebellious. Brother Shetland, that is so judgmental. No, you hear this. I don't know the source of their bitterness. I don't know why they're bitter, but I know they're bitter. I don't know why they're rebellious. I don't know if they've been abused. I don't know if they've been molested. I don't know any of that. But I can know they're believing a lie. They are rebellious. I don't know why they're rebellious. But I know that that young person is struggling. I can see that. Are y'all with me? Do you understand? We as spiritual beings that we know the Lord, we're supposed to judge what? Certain things. No, that is not what the Bible says. We are to discern and judge what? Everyone together. All things. Now, I cannot judge someone's motive. But I can definitely judge their actions, their behavior. There's a lot of judgment that I can make based on biblical things. All right, so look what it says. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we can make that judgment. We can be discerning. Okay, so number one, spiritual discernment defined. The divine skill of separating God's way from man's way. I'm sorry, but I just got to have you help me, okay? So we're all going to say the definition together. Are you ready? Spiritual discernment, everyone together. The divine skill of separating God's way from man's way. Okay, there's nine of you that got it. Okay, that's all right. We can keep going. All right. Now, oh, by the way, I got to tell you this. So what is the goal in Christianity today? By the way, this is why we're not discerning. Our goal today is unity instead of truth. And because our goal is unity instead of truth, we have given up on discerning things because we don't even want the truth. We just want to be unified. We want to be unified. Hey, here's what I wrote down in my paper here. Unity, how can we be like the world and still be Christians? That's our goal today. Our goal is, how can we be like the world, but still be a Christian, but be like the world? No. Truth should be our goal. How can we be like Christ and live in the world? Do you understand the difference between those two statements? Because the difference between those two statements is what's ruining Christianity in America today. Our goal is not to be unified with the world. Our goal is to seek for truth. And in the seeking of that truth, we do have to live in the world. How can I be like Christ and live in the world? So number one, spiritual discernment defined. I got to get going. Number two, spiritual discernment desired. You guys got to look this up. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And as you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 3, everyone together. God gave him, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. You have one request. Anything you want, Solomon, I'll give it to you. Everyone together. What did Solomon ask for? Yeah, that's not right. I knew you were going to say that. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3 and let's see what he asked for. 1 Kings chapter 3, I'll begin reading at verse number 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Okay, look at verse number 5 at the very end. God says, ask what I shall give thee. All right, Solomon, you love me. What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. Let's look at verse number 9. Give therefore thy servant in, everyone together, what's the next word? Understanding heart. Well, same thing. Wait just a minute. Understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern. Here's our definition, guys. That I may discern between good and bad. I'll tell you the greatest thing I'm going to ask you, God. Will you give me the divine skill to be able to separate God's way from man's way? I want your perspective. Lord, if you can give me one thing, here's what I desire. Discernment. I desire a skill that can only come from you. That things that come in my life, that I will know this is God's way, this is man's way. That is what Solomon asked for. Now, this is the jewel of the day. If you're Jewish, you know there's a very sacred passage of scripture in the Torah. It's found in the Pentateuch, and it is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It is known as the, does anyone know what it's called? If you're a Jew, it was the first thing that you memorized in the Torah in your life. You had this thing memorized by the time you were 4 or 5 years of age. It's called the, who said that? It's called the Shema. Do you know what the word Shema means? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is Echad, one Lord. One is a unit, one is a group. Hear, O Israel, the word hear is the word Shema. So everyone together, what is the Hebrew word for hear? Shema. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 9. Give therefore thy servant a Shema heart. Give therefore thy servant, understanding is the Hebrew word Shema. All right, Brother Zeller, I'm not sure I understand. Little play on words here. I'm not sure I get this. You know what Solomon asked for? Solomon said, God, the greatest thing that I desire is that I would hear from you. Because if I hear from you, I will know what is right and I will know what is wrong. God, give me a Shema heart. Listen to me. Brother Shetler, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? I feel like everything in America is being destroyed. What do we do with the foundations? I'll tell you, number one, you do. You develop a discernment. And you say, dear God, every day I need to have a hearing heart that I hear from you. Because if I don't hear from you, I will never know how to handle what's going on in my office right now. I will never know how to handle what's going on with my children right now. God, if I do not hear from you, I cannot know what to do in my marriage right now, what to do financially. We are about to make a huge financial decision. We are about to make a huge decision about vacation this summer. God, I gotta hear from you to know which way I'm supposed to go. Are you with me? You need to ask God every day for a Shema heart. God, give me a heart that hears from you. Isn't that the coolest thing? I love that. So what he asked for was a Shema heart, to hear in order to obey. And that's what Shema means. I want to hear in order to obey you. I want to hearken to you. By the way, you want to know something really cool? We don't have time for this, but I'll tell you something really cool. The word Shema a couple times in the Old Testament is reference to God. There are a couple times where God says, I will hearken unto you. I will, the word there is Shema. I will listen to your prayer request. But you got to be in the right spot for me to Shema to you. I'm not going to Shema to you. I'm not going to hearken to you if you're not hearkening to me. I think that's really cool. Okay, so spiritual discernment defined. Spiritual discernment desired. And now we got to get to the real message. We got 7 minutes. Are you ready? Spiritual discernment developed. Now, there are several of you that I gave scriptures to. So if you would stand and read your King James Bible when we get to those passages, okay? So I'm going to give you six things on how to develop spiritual discernment. Here we go. Number one, search for truth daily. Brother Sean, how do you develop this kind of discernment? You search for truth daily. Who's got Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. If you could really quickly, if you would stand and go. Okay, Brother Godfrey, go ahead. Real loud, Brother Godfrey.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed.
Okay, you ready? Quick sword drill. Everyone get their Bibles. Quick sword drill. Take your Bibles and turn to Berea chapter 1 verse 9. Quickly. Go. Take your Bibles. Turn. Okay, I'm joking. Turn to 2 Berea chapter 3 verse 5. Brother Shetler, there's no book in the Bible called Berea. Yeah. Wonder why. They didn't have problems that Corinth did. They weren't lukewarm like Colossae. They weren't struggling within themselves with interpersonal relationships like Philippi. They didn't need an epistle written to them. You know why? They were discerning enough because they were in the Word of God every day. You don't have a book of Berea because they didn't need a book of Berea. They didn't need to be corrected about anything, because they were discerning on what was right and wrong. Isn't that the coolest thing in the world? I just love that. Okay, so number one, search for truth daily. Number two, form your views on issues before they become issues in your life. Okay, now everyone hear this. Form your views on issues before they become issues in your life. Because if you wait until they become an issue in your life, you'll go by your emotion and your logic. You will not go by the scriptures. You've got to form your beliefs on issues from the Word of God before they become issues in your life. It's too late. Okay, let's divorce. If you formulate your view on divorce when you're going through a terrible marriage, you're not going to come up with the right view. I'm just telling you that right now. You have to form your views on issues before they become issues in your life. So that is really important. Number three, listen to godly people. Brother Shetler, how do you get wisdom and discernment? Well, there's a lot of ways you develop this. But one is you do it by listening to godly people. Who's got Proverbs 13:20? Proverbs 13:20. Go ahead. And that word wise has the idea of understanding and discernment. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Man, stay around godly people. Be around people that have wisdom. Be around your pastor. Be around the staff here. Be around godly people, and it will help you in your discernment. Number four, take note of anything new. This is good. Because the Bible says, well, let's see what the Bible says. Who's got Ecclesiastes 1:9? Who's got Ecclesiastes 1:9? Go ahead, Sarah. There is what? There is no new thing under the sun. So if you're going to develop discernment and you go, you know what? I never heard that before. That ought to bring some things to you. By the way, that's true with my preaching too. I'm looking up that Shema thing, Brother Sheldon. Oh, go to it. Look it up. I never heard that. I always thought Solomon asked for wisdom. No, he asked for a Shema heart. Look it up. When you ever hear anything new, it ought to stir your heart a little bit. Okay? That's how you develop discernment. Number five, don't compromise what you know to be true. You're going to lose discernment if you compromise that which you know to be true. Who's got 1 Thessalonians 5:21? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Say that one more time. Prove all things and then do what? Hold fast onto that which is good. So don't compromise what you know to be true already. But here it is. Everybody, take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 5, and we're done. Give me 2 more minutes, because this is so good at the very end here. You've got to see this. This is the key to the whole thing on discernment. Hebrews 5, listen to verse 13 and 14. I need your help. Everyone together. Hebrews 5:13. I'm going to read it out loud, except for a couple parts. You're going to help me. For everyone that uses milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What should we do if the foundations be destroyed, Brother Shuttler? Well, you should be righteous. But some of you are unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Now, here we go. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, telestial. That's a complete, perfect, mature would be really good. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature. Even those, look at this, even those who by reason of, everyone together, what's the next word? Use have their senses. Everyone together, what's the next word? Exercise to discern both good and evil. Do you understand what you just read? Because this is the key to all discernment. I'll tell you who can decipher between good and evil. Those who are exercised. Cool Greek word there. Gymnasium. That is the Greek word for exercise there. Gymnasium. For those that exercise that which they know. Now, I gave this illustration to the singles yesterday because we were talking about devotions. I've got to end with this. So what if you came up to me and we got talking about something and I said, I belong to a gym. I belong to a fitness center. And you looked at me and go like, you do? Yeah, I belong to a fitness center. Brother Scheller, yeah. Do you ever go? Huh. Yes. I go 7 days a week. You do? You go, I go 7 days a week. I never miss a day. You go for like 5 minutes or so? No. I am there at 5:30 in the morning. And I stay till 7. Brother Scheller, you go to the fitness. You go to a gym, an exercise place. Yeah, 7 days a week. And you go from 5:30 to 7? Yeah. Brother Shalar, I don't mean to be disrespectful to you, but what do you do there? no offense, but you don't look like you go to the gym every day. And you're not, you know, that you're spending an hour and a half there. What do you do there? Oh, I walk around. Yeah, I know, but what machines do you use? I never use one of the machines. You what? Have you ever picked up weights? No, I don't touch them. Brother Shuttler, you go to the gym every day. Yes. You go for an hour and a half. Yes. And all you do is walk around? Yes. You never use anything? You never exercise yourself on any of the machines? No, never. Well, let me tell you, will I ever change? No. Some of you walk around in this book every day, but you're not exercising what's in this book. Now, hear this. How does a person develop discernment, Brother Shuttler? They apply what they already know, what is right and wrong. And as they do what they already know what to do, what is right and wrong, God begins to give them discernment in the next area. I want to tell you right now, if the foundations be destroyed, the foundations of America are being destroyed. Yeah, what shall the righteous do? Number one, you start developing discernment in your life. And the way that you start developing discernment in your life, Americans, Christian Americans, righteous Americans, is you start living out what you already know is right. And that'll be the greatest thing, because righteousness exalteth a nation. Every time you live the word of God, you're exalting America. What's the greatest patriot in this room? Oh, those that probably served in the military. Not necessarily. The greatest patriot in this room is those that are able to discern an issue rightly and do what is right. Father, I pray, while the foundations of America are being destroyed, may a Temple Baptist, we live righteously, because righteousness exalteth a nation. God, give us, may we become discerning in our perspective. May we be able to separate God's way, your way, Father, from the ways of this world. Give us a biblical world view. And give us, Father, a Shema heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the righteous said, amen. Thank you, Pastor.